Don't touch that dial. You're listening to Board Games Daily, your daily dose of tabletop gaming discussion on Anchor. Now welcome your hosts, Jeremiah Isley, Scott Firestone, and AJ Skifstad.
Hey folks, it's Firestone here with Theology of Games and Board Games Daily, and it is the last week of August 2023. School is in full swing, football is in full swing, the weather doesn't know what it wants to do, if it wants to rain all day, if it wants to be super hot all day. It's a weird time of year. Anyway, this week we decided to do a designer spotlight. So this week we picked a designer who's been around for quite a while. His name is Rüdiger Dorn, and he has done a ton of games. And so the three of us are each going to talk about some of the different games he's designed, games of his that we've played, our thoughts on them, maybe dive deep into something. Rüdiger Dorn is our designer spotlight. We would love to hear which games of his are your favorites and why, and just tell us your experience with him. And so let's get to it.
Hey everybody, it's AJ here, and I am bringing you the topic of the week. So I'll give you my thoughts and opinions on it today, and then later on we'll probably hear Scott and Jeremiah give their opinions as well. But we're going to do something today that we haven't done in a while, I don't think. But we probably have done it before, either on an old TOG podcast or maybe even here on Board Games Daily. And it's going to be a designer spotlight. So with a designer spotlight, I think that you probably, when you play a game, at least when I do, I always want to know as I'm playing it or maybe before or after, who designed this game? Who made it? Because I always like to compare and contrast games that they've made before. You know, some designers just have a wealth of different themes and mechanics and content that are just fantastic. And then, you know, you look at another designer who perhaps has many things are very stagnant or the same or mechanically, like Zeffenfeld. You know what I'm getting at, though. Somebody's probably going to kill me for saying that. But today we're going to be talking about Rüdiger Dorn. And Rüdiger Dorn is a German designer who has done many different games that you could say are a staple in the hobby. You see them on shelves. A lot of people have them on their board game shelves, or you're going to see them at stores. And he's done things such as Karuba. He did the expansion to Goa. He's done Istanbul, Luxor, Las Vegas. There's quite a few other decent ones in there, or very good ones even, that I'm forgetting. But I'm going to talk about the fact that I think he does seem to change the themes quite a bit and the mechanics quite a bit. I noticed that, like, in a game like Karuba, It's a puzzly game where you're trying to build a map for some workers to go across a desert island or a jungle island, I'm not sure. And you're trying to get to some ancient ruins where you're going to collect goods from a temple, points from a temple or ancient idols. And so I think that's pretty cool. It's puzzly, and the goal is to get from point A to point B, and it is essentially a race, but there's some other things going on there. But then you have a game like Luxor, which is, it looks like an old Milton Bradley roll and move kind of game, or Parker Brothers, whatever, and it's actually so much more than that. You're going to be unlocking tiles as you move around this board that that has these tiers to it, so that you can enter this inner chamber where these mummy sarcophaguses are. And you're in this situation, the theme doesn't change too much because you're a treasure hunter again, but you're going to be unlocking tiles on each space that you go to. You're going to unlock some secret passages, all sorts of good stuff. And your movement isn't based on the roll of a die, but it's based in cards in your hand that you can only play off of the left or the right side of your hand. And then you draw a card and put it in the middle. So you're programming your hand and your movements as you go around this this mummy's tomb. And so I think that's a pretty cool one. I look at a game like Istanbul, where you're merchants in Istanbul, and you're going to be moving on a 5x5 grid of tiles, trying to collect rubies to end the game. So you're going to, I think, 5 or 6, depending on how many players are in the game. But what's interesting about that is each tile activates an action that's going to get you money or resources or do something special for you. And as you're moving around, you have these workers underneath your merchant that you have to drop off at those locations to help enact the action. Well, if you don't have a worker to drop off, you can't do the action, and you have to go back to the fountain in the center to draw all your workers back. Now, there's some ways you can manipulate the game by gaining some bonus tiles from other locations. And it's just a really neat game that it's always changing because you can lay out the tiles any way you want, essentially. And it's cool. You can't go to places where other players have gone unless you pay them. And it's just a really, really neat concept. So that's just, again, there's versatility there, and I like that about him. And finally, we could talk about tons of games, but there's Las Vegas, for instance. Okay, that's just totally different theme right there. Now, I've never played Las Vegas, and I know that I probably should, seeing as it's been around for as long as it has been, but it's just one that I've never got to. But you look at a theme like that, and you're just like, okay, we're talking casinos here. That's what I'm assuming. I've never looked into the game in too much detail, but again, you just got a lot of different stuff going on from him. So pretty cool designer. Really like a lot of the games that I played of his. And so I think if I had to pick a favorite right now, it would probably be Istanbul. I probably played that one more than any of the others. Karuba and Luxor, I played quite a bit too. These are ones that are actually on my shelf, by the way. That's why I'm talking about them. But I think Istanbul is probably my favorite, and I've included the expansions in that as well, which are also fantastic, and have had a great time with those. But he has a wealth of games. Those were just a few. I think I was looking on BGG earlier today, and he's got upwards of 90-some games that he's designed, I think. So, hey, if you haven't checked out any games by Rüdiger Dorn, go ahead and take a look, because he's got some pretty cool ones. That's it for now.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for this week's Game Night Cage Fight!
And in this corner,
two games enter and one game leaves. Who wins, you decide. Vote on this week's Cage Fight by going to Twitter at BoardGamesDaily. Or call in 216-352-3864.
Winner and still champion.
Hey everybody, Firestone here with Board Games Daily, powered by TheologyOfGames.com, and it's time for the cage fight of the week. I think we did this one a few years ago, but none of us were positive, and so we thought, well, there's a new game coming out in this sort of universe, so let's do this cage fight again. It is Terra Mystica versus Gaia Project. These are very similar games, but definitely different enough that you could own them both. I own them both. But what prompted this is that there is a new game out in this sort of universe. It's called Age of Innovation. And it seems to be very, very similar to Terra Mystica, to the point where you don't need to own both of those. And from what I've seen, as far as the mechanisms and the things they've changed, it looks like it might actually be the one to own. So that kind of prompted us to go, well, before everybody starts talking about Age of Innovation, let's see which one people prefer. Now, we would love for you to vote on this. Like, you can join on Twitter. You can vote on the Facebook page, Instagram, wherever we are. You can weigh in on it. We'll have a poll up that you can vote on as well. And we don't care if you add in the expansions to Terra Mystica and that takes it over the top on Gaia Project or whatever. Expansions are great. Basically, if you are going to play Terra Mystica in whatever form it is, Do you think it's better than Gaia Project or worse than Gaia Project? Who wins this game fight for you? We will each weigh in this week, and we will catch you later. Thanks for joining us. Bye.
Thanks for joining us today. Board Games Daily is powered by TheologyOfGames.com. Don't forget to head over to TheologyOfGames.com to check out all we have to offer, including written reviews, our YouTube channel, and two other podcasts. If you enjoyed this show, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you're listening. Thanks for listening, and go put a game on the table.